Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This is your Bomb Wednesday Service Podcast. As always, I am Naima Cochran, better known as the Senior Pastor of Music Sermon and your Senior Pastor of Wednesday Service. And with me, as always, is my minister, my director of the HEPS Ministry, Karin J. Phillips, who today, are you sipping tea, Karin? Coffee?
What cocoa.
Are you doing today? Cocoa. It's a cocoa day. It's a comfort day.
We'll let some extra.
Okay, and today you representing for the home area?
No, I just didn't feel like brushing my hair.
Okay, that works too.
I didn't feel like coming out here or brushing it.
This
is the man version of a high bun.
Right, and we all see what I have. And I actually, over the holiday, I bought a ponytail that I was going to start throwing in sometimes when I started doing my hair. But it's the wrong texture, so I got to get another one.
I'm a fan of the high bun.
The high bun is a good thing, but it definitely means your hair is dirty. Like, be clear. Like, it definitely means, like, I can't do shit else with this hair right now, but put it in a high bun. That's where we are.
I like it, though. Like,
it works, though.
I'm a child of the Black woman updo era. Like, so. Yeah. Listen, in high school, if you had a pin curl ponytail.
Not a pin curl ponytail.
You was the one for me. So, yeah.
A pin curl
I'm all about the high buns.
I love it. So by the time you guys hear this tomorrow, hell, if you listen to it tomorrow, it is going to be inauguration day.
Do we need to pray now?
We should all definitely say a prayer. I am going to, for the sake of those who are not, of a practicing faith, I don't want to impose this upon y'all, but I'm just going to say a blanket. Like,
wait, Lord, listen.
Lord, we
you
just ask
for Black Jesus tomorrow, okay? Listen,
Lord,
listen.
We just ask for a covering over the festivities, Lord, over the ceremonies, Lord, over every hand, every person, everybody who has been involved and will be involved in the comings and the goings, the buildings and the taking downs of all aspects and elements of the inauguration on tomorrow. And thereafter, and especially keep your hand upon our incoming officers and staff. And Congress and every other elected official who is within the targets and crosshairs of these people who feel entitled to this country. And feel entitled in Jesus' name. Let's add that part. They feel entitled in the name of Jesus because they think that God gave them this country.
Because they praying to white Jesus instead of black Jesus. That's right. That's the issue.
And I
that's
feel it. Like white Jesus has been telling them, leave me out of this. Like, I really feel like he's well, been trying to have Jesus this
isn't,
with them.
White Jesus isn't real. To me, white Jesus is
that's,
Tom
white
Brady.
Jesus is like Santa Claus.
That's actually
the conversation we need to have. We need to have the conversation that white Jesus is like Santa Claus. Because, I mean, like, it's the Middle East. He ain't white, y'all. Jesus is woolly, bronze skin, woolly hair. They just ignore all that.
It's three people white people don't want to let go of. Jesus, Cleopatra.
Right.
And who was the other one? I just leave it at two because I can't
Gandhi.
Remember who the third one is. But yeah, it's like,
like, I get it. Sir Ben Kingsley is immensely talented, but...
Yeah. Oh, Moses. It ain't Charlton Heston.
And Moses.
The man was born in Egypt.
We had a black woman play Cleopatra. Well, first of all, there hasn't been a major on-screen adaptation of anything Cleopatra in a long time, but there was never a black woman like Liz Taylor's Fly. She is not Cleopatra.
Can't do it.
But you know, white folks, the Nile is not just a river in Egypt. Historical denial and whitewashing is a thing. But yeah, today, mm-hmm. by the time you're listening, is it's gonna be a lot. This is a very intense inaugurational year. And not just because we are at a heightened level of security, like I've heard DC and seen photos that, you know, they finally put up all the barricades and the infrastructure in DC that they should have at least had a portion of last week. Yeah.
I've had some conversation with some people who were there mm-hmm. working. I will say, for the sake of security, it is what you think it is and more.
Yeah. The National Guard have been decamped to the Capitol building since the week after the
They have cots now.
Okay. Because they were sleeping on the floor.
They have cots. Point.
Like when you and your cousins used to all go to your grandma's house in the summer and just all be spread out over the living room. That's
but at
what
least we had pallets.
You had a blanket and a pillow. Yeah.
We had pallets. They didn't even have that.
They didn't have that. And like in their gear, just like sprawled out across the floor. So now they have cots. That's a good thing. There are multiple checkpoints. Well, first of all, because I've seen some people in the DC area, because there are people who live near the Capitol building, I understand, but also some DC residents have been complaining about everything because they're also like it being difficult to get in also makes it difficult for us to get out in case of emergency. And my thing is, and I say this as a New Yorker, so somebody who has a little bit of experience with high security areas, not to this level, but, you know, let me put it this way. I have not gone down. It took me like 3 or 4 years before I went down to the World Trade Center for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, well, I'm going down there for what? There's no reason to, right?
Exactly.
I would not necessarily decide I need to go gallivanting around Trump Tower this week or last week here, right? Mm-hmm. Because for what? So
what you're
I guess
to say in a nice way is DC residents, no one wants to hear you complaining.
Like, why y'all over there?
Yeah,
that's like
just
why are you there? You should be at home. There's no reason to go there.
You should be staying at home anyway. There's a pandemic.
You should assume those who don't live in the immediate area, but you should assume that. Because somebody was like, well, everything's shut down because of the pandemic, so there's not a lot of places to go. It's a pandemic. Stay your ass in the house. Mm-hmm. You should assume that it's going to be a pain in the ass to be over there right now because you don't need to be there. Because we're inaugurating a new president, and that requires the highest level of security. Like, y'all, again, like we said the other week, people still aren't really treating this as, like, we are on high terrorist alert, except they're not calling it high terrorist alert. But that's what it is.
Also, you chose to live in the nation's
capital.
In DC,
near the Capitol building.
There are different type of securities that happen if you live in the nation's capital that
As
you knew about
be.
Before you decided to live in the nation's capital.
But also, as there should be, like, it comforts me to know that you had to go through 80 through the 82,000 checkpoints to get anywhere near the Capitol lawn, and that it was equally annoying for you to get back out, because that means if somebody does some fuck shit, they can't easily get away. That actually comforts me.
If you've ever driven through DC and seen the cameras at every red light and stop sign, it isn't just to get you. It's for national security reasons.
Right.
As well, so that you can't just be speeding through the city.
Right. Right.
It's all for a reason, people.
It's all for a reason. So I definitely obviously anticipate some fuck shit from the Proud Boys and the Nationalists and the Separatists and the Supremacists and all of that tomorrow.
Has anybody told us what they're proud of yet?
Just their whiteness. That's it. Because somebody told them that was all they needed to do to be in America was just be white and be an American. And that granted them and afforded them all the privileges and rights they could imagine herein. And, you know, and then people kept giving them trophies for doing nothing. And they believed it.
Which at its core is hilarious, given that all of the things that come with being white and American are based on a piece of paper. And most of the original rules and laws that were created for this country were written for white men that were American, but who owned land. Given that most of these proud people don't own shit.
They don't own a fucking thing.
It's just finding quite ironic that.
That's why they cling to the proudness of being white, because they ain't got nothing else. They ain't got nothing else but being white. That's why they have to cling to that. I saw a clip that was supposed to be some kind of like Proud Boy initiation or something. And it's basically them like yelling at each other. And then it's almost like they jump somebody in, like they like hitting each other. It's basically
I saw it.
It's what white football players used to do in the locker room. And I'm like, oh, y'all didn't play sports or pledge in college. So y'all are trying to get that.
It wasn't even no real.
Yeah, all play. Yeah. And then, I was like, y'all ain't get, this is what y'all think happened with athletes and frat boys. Y'all don't know because they wouldn't fuck with y'all because y'all were corny. Mm-hmm. So you're like creating your own version of this to feel like you belong to some kind of brotherhood. That's really what it is. These motherfuckers is lonely and ostracized. And that actually is what radicalism is at its core. People looking for something to belong to, you know? Yeah. So, which is why they always say, he was about people who shoot up schools. He was so quiet. He was kind of a loner. People who do not already have, I'm not saying that people who are part of like social groups and lives can't be radicalized, but it's much easier for people out on social fringes to be radicalized, because that's all they want is friends. Shit. Which is sad. But also like, nah, y'all niggas gotta go to jail. And speaking of which, they are still apparently rounding up bad what they call them, bad actors from the insurgent.
Hey, you know,
and there is something, somebody told me there's some arrests we might not be hearing of because they're building federal cases and it's a large investigation.
You want to be all on the internet saying your government name and where you live and where you come from, checking in the hotels and buying flights with your credit card and your government name.
And going live and telling people where you've been, what you're doing, where you're going.
None of y'all could have ever been good drug dealers.
Not at all.
The paper trail they left.
They're not even concerned because, again, they think it's very cool. And in their little corner of the internet, it was cool until you realize, like, oh, the cops can use this against you. So y'all are learning. Cash
for anything, Gore.
Yeah, y'all are learning some of what, and all of these people, all these CSI people, and they're also all conspiracy theorists, which would suggest to me that you know better. Like, you should know not to do all this shit in your real name. Ain't you the one? Ain't y'all the one tracking Pizzagate? Like, don't y'all know better? But whatever. So Trump is still not online.
Them your friends.
Shit. Trump is still not online, but the last couple of White House press releases have looked like Trump tweets, which is
Did you see the video?
The hostage video? Yes. No. The most coherent. There's a new one?
No, the video he released last week.
Yes, a hostage video. It was a hostage. That was him as a hostage. That was the, if you don't want us to impeach your ass right now, record this video, hostage video. Because it was the most coherent. First of all, it was the first time, even when Trump has done like his coherent speeches, all two or three of them he's done over the past 4 years.
Yeah, it's only been like three.
He still can't help but add a little something on it that's not on the prompter.
Oh, not on that.
Not this time. This, you can tell, this motherfucker read off script. He pronounced full words, multisyllabic words.
They have eye contact.
He had eye contact. He seemed sincere. He was chill on the hand gestures. It was like hands full. And I was like, did they sedate him? Like, how?
There were dramatic pauses.
How did they get this video? I didn't know he had the capacity. I did not know he had the capacity.
Somebody showed him the amount of documents Letitia has waiting for him.
Well, that video ain't gonna help with Letitia. I think that was really just like, if you don't want us to bounce your ass up out of this office right now. I also think the threat of impeachment, really, in addition to everything he's facing, which includes Deutsche Bank saying that they're coming for Trump Tower and for Mar-a-Lago right now because he owes them a staggering amount of money. You know, if he gets impeached and convicted, not only can he not run for office ever again, which means that the 2024 campaign, which he is probably going to launch tomorrow, just so he can fill his coffers, can't go forth. And he doesn't get his pension as a president, and he doesn't get Secret Service detail for the rest of his life. I think that might have actually been startling enough for him. Like, we've seen Trump spin and spiral because he's angry. Now I think we see what happens when Trump is actually concerned and afraid that his actions have repercussions, as opposed to just being upset that he's not getting his way. Like, they're two different things. And I think now he's actually concerned and afraid. Which, by the way, though, what happened with the impeachment trial? Where are we at with that? I just thought about that. Didn't the House vote to impeach? What happened?
Listen, we knew Republicans would come through with it. We just needed him for it to pass twice because he knew they weren't going to drag him out the White House. So I was just hoping for that. Like, I didn't have grand aspirations that they was going to yank your boy up out of there. Like, listen,
even if he had been impeached and convicted, they need the conviction on the record, but they didn't move forward with all that. Yeah. I don't think.
What do you got?
I mean, they can still do it after tomorrow.
In my time zone.
So. I think they can still do it after tomorrow, I think. Can they? I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Another thing to bring up is that over the past week, we have seen multiple White House staff carrying shit up out the White House. Just stealing shit out of the people's house. Let me just take this bust to Abraham Lincoln that's been sitting here for a couple hundred years. Who the fuck cares? Gonna take this painting. I don't know. Put it there. I don't know. Like, none of this shit is a black
president would do. He is.
Trump
doing.
Has done it like to excess. Like, Trump has been the nigger president with
hey,
the ER.
Hey, 100%. Y'all want to come get some stuff up out of here before I leave? Come through on Wednesday. I got y'all. Back gate.
Just cleaning shit out. It is reprehensible, but whatever. What else did we expect? So the Trump era comes to an official close tomorrow, praise be. But y'all also need to extend your prayers to Kamala and Joe, because people been mad at what Kamala and Joe ain't doing since before the election results were counted. They've been talking about what Kamala and Joe ain't doing. And it's like, nigga, you just left the polls 5 minutes ago. They're going to have no grace this first term, but they're also walking into one of the hardest first terms ever. I mean, Democrats always inherit some bullshit from Republicans. They always inherit a terrible economy, terrible national debt. But now we also have the pandemic and the outgoing president inciting, you know, a government coup attempt. So like, and doing it, you know, within 2 weeks of leaving office. So the amount of fires they have to put out, in addition to completely rebuilding multiple federal departments that the Trump administration completely gutted, in addition to responding to the pandemic, in addition to responding to the economy, in addition to like just the normal shit that you need to do as a presidential administration, I know they tired already.
The positive thing is with Joe being a former vice president for 8 years, there is a lot of familiarity there. And yes, that is a very comforting thing. Just because of any time you have to move somewhere to a new job, it doesn't matter how good you are at that job, or even if you still know the people who work there. This is still like a new building, a new place, a new city. You got to learn. So given that he just like, oh, we going back to the crib. this makes like, this, after just 4 years, a little easier.
So when I worked at Columbia and I left Columbia, I went to Nickelodeon for a little while because I was like, I'm leaving music. I'm going to try to transition to TV. And I really wasn't happy at Nickelodeon. And I ended up going to Epic, which is also part of Sony. And I was only gone for 9 months. And like to the point where when I came back, all my, like they didn't have to re-onboard me. All my passwords still worked and all of that other shit. But I was so happy to be back someplace where I knew how to like, if I needed to get something out immediately, I knew who to call in the mail room. You know, mm-hmm. all the back end stuff. That's how I imagine it must be for Joe going back in, which is why when people were kind of panicking about Trump blocking the transition shit, I was like, fortunately, because it's Joe, he, like, this was actually the upside to, this was the biggest upside maybe to electing him, is that you need somebody who does not have to learn how this shit works, who already knows, because the Trump administration, first of all, they never came all the way up to speed in terms of running the White House because they didn't do their own transition. But they couldn't teach an incoming administration shit about how the White House runs. They couldn't and wouldn't if they
could.
Can
you imagine being on a tour and somebody being like, what does this light switch do? I don't know.
We never figured it out. We ain't even coming here. We don't know. Like, I know they have, like, you just know it was horrible record keeping. Like, you just know they didn't follow protocol on anything. Like, you just know it was a mess. So they're probably like, all the Biden-Harris administration is probably basically starting from ground zero, but knew that going in. And Joe does already look tired, but I have confidence that, and he probably got no sleep, but I have confidence they can get the job done at least. God bless. God bless. Try to show them some support, y'all. Wozni, Nando.
Wait, what did they say?
Anyway. No, because you know they're half socialist. Oh. I love y'all though. You know, woke bros is anti-establishment. It's fine. We love them. They're our brothers. Anyway,
I see my face.
I see your face. It's fine. So that's okay. So we have the inauguration tomorrow, which I didn't watch the last one. I went on a media blackout because I didn't give a fuck about anything that had anything to do with Trump. So I'll be tuned in for that. What else did we say we were going to talk about? Oh, I know we said we were going to talk about TV. I know we said we were going to talk about the crack doc, but there was something else. I forgot. Let's get into the crack documentary because I was talking about this today.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I watched it last night.
So Netflix has a special right now about the crack era and how it came to be, the impact of it,
also the crime bill, etc. This is what I realized while watching this documentary. To get the full spectrum of that, of the crack cocaine era, there are four things you need to watch. And last night was like the fourth Infinity Stone. And it was a moment where I paused and I was just like, oh, yeah, now I see how they completely pull this off in a beautiful way. if you watched it, not in a beautiful way, but I could see, I see how the U.S. government pulled this off. If you watched Crack documentary, okay. If you watched Snowfall, if you've watched mm-hmm. every season of Narcos, and if you watched the Showtime documentary, The Reagans, watch all mm-hmm. four of those things. And you have like the ultimate picture. It's like when you watch a movie and they show a detective and they've got like the pictures and the streams and they connect. It was like that.
Were the streams connected?
Now I see how they pulled this off, because I've seen all four of these things, and they each series has given me a bit of this from a different perspective and how it affected that. And then there's that scene mm-hmm. in the Crack documentary when they were showing like, all right, the guns go here, the money come here, and this, and it was like, oh yeah, so like Snowfall is based right here. This is what Narcos is talking mm-hmm. about. This, and I was like, now you get the full picture, and it's like, yes. This is why Crack devastated everybody and why it kept coming in. And because you see it from the international standpoint, the local standpoint, the right. racial standpoint, the economical standpoint, and just the political pageantry that was going on your TV screen to try to cover it up or ignore it.
So I'm going to add two more things to that. I think that you also need to watch, I don't even know if it's available for streaming, though. VH1 did a documentary called Planet Rock.
I remember that.
Which was about the same thing. It was about, there was a lot of the same things covered as this one, but it also gave you the connection to hip hop, which I think was really vital. And then watch New Jack City, because honestly, not for nothing, New Jack City is a very accurate depiction of drug dealers, how quickly drug dealers were coming up with crack, and how much it took over, how much money it brought in, how it really did create like these whole consortiums. Like, it was really that crazy. And if you watch it now, I've said this before, I think that if you were not of age for the crack era, or if you don't come from a major metropolitan area, like, and you remember pre-gentrification, it's hard to understand. Like, no matter how much you hear us talk about crack and crackhead behavior, like, you might understand in your mind what we mean when we say crackhead behavior, or what we mean when we say, like, this chicken has crack in it, that it means it's immediately addictive and that crackheads act silly. But you might think that the portrayal of crackheads in movies is an exaggeration. No, it's not. Like, I cannot overstate how devastating, like, if once you've seen what crack does to people, like, that impact is so strong.
If you are a certain age, you remember the first time you saw a crackhead.
Right. Like, it really was like seeing a zombie. Like, it really was like seeing a zombie. And they were liable to do anything. Like, if you've never been in a house and you had to hide everything, your shoes, your anything of anything, you had to hide it because there was like that one crackhead cousin or something who might come through and your shit just go missing. Like, random, like, the most random shit go missing. Like, a pot go missing. Just cause. Like, they would sell anything. They would try to sell anything. But I think that New Jack Swing is really good at New Jack City is really good at showing that, and shout out to Barry Michael Cooper, who wrote New Jack City and also did coin the phrase New Jack Swing, but is really good at showing what that looked like when crack hit the scene and how it changed
and the money.
Everything.
And that was one of the things I liked and much about crack. Is I was like, oh, and that's what got me in all the interviews. I was like, oh, they got Free Ray Ricky Ross because he about to talk that money.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, like, they got him. Okay. Yeah, they really right. about to break this down.
I mean, it was cheap. It was cheap to produce. It was cheap to sell. Or it was cheap for addicts to buy. And it was immediately addictive. And immediate, like, there. So this is what made me think about this. I guess because she watched the doc. This girl asked on Twitter, would you try crack if you knew you could get addicted? And I was like, whoever asked this has never seen anybody who was addicted to crack.
You already know how old they are if they asked.
It's literally, I understand it's a hypothetical question, but it is literally impossible to consider crack without addiction. Like, that's how addict, like, there is, like, I know it's a mental exercise. There are some mental exercises where you actually cannot disassociate from the reality of the situation. I hear the word crack and I think
like crackhead.
Yeah, you think head. You think addiction. You think, like, this one girl said to me, she was like, I mean, the minute you smoke crack, you're homeless and then you die. Like, that's what happens. Like, it happens by the close of business that day. Like, it's immediate. You are an immediate addict from the first hit. Like, the difference in somebody between that first time and even just a couple of days later, it is instant. So it is impossible to consider trying crack without addiction. And also, like, considering all the things we associate crack with, it's impossible to consider trying crack, like, at all. Like, why would I? Have you smelled crack? Have you smelled crack? Crack smells like something that somebody at the bottom of an addiction barrel would smoke. Why? Nobody's doing anything that smells like that recreationally. Like, it's, the question is impossible. It's an impossible
And then
question.
When you line up of every drug you've ever heard people try, opium, PCP, angel dust, weed, coke, Xanax, ecstasy.
Yeah, prescription like pills. You heroin might be the only...
No, but even,
I'm sorry, y'all gotta go on hold. My doorbell. Sorry, hold on.
Like LSD... or things of that manner, right? Like, we know people who are actual survivors. They have tried these things. If it was like in the late 60s or the 70s, maybe they tried this one time, a couple of times, or maybe it was just a phase in their lives. But at some point, they were like, all right, this was a fun party drug. I did these drugs. It happened. I had a good time. I was at Studio 54, whatever club I was, on these drugs, and everything was cool. All right, I'm getting older. Let's put this stuff down. All of these drugs, like, people have stopped. Crack?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you've never met a person who's like, yeah, man, I tried it twice, then I quit. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
The only other thing I could think of that's as bad as that is heroin. But we don't know that. To me, heroin was a 70s drug. I realized there is still heroin users and addicts, but when's the last time you heard somebody you actually knew of a heroin addict?
We know crack like addicts. Old heads say, you know, that heroin, and they just take
that heroin. Yeah, we don't hear a lot about because you know, needles, black people, it's not an attractive offering.
You gotta wrap your arm up, yeah. You gotta find a vein, you gotta get the needle, you gotta boil it. You got to put it in the needle. It's a process.
It's a multi-step process.
Like, how long is it going to take for you to get high? Where crack, you know, it's just something that if you just light it up, you're good. Weed, same way. Coke, do a line. Acid, take a little bit. X, pop it. But yeah, with heroin, I'm out here talking like I'm 60, like my dad calling it heroin. Yeah, that's a whole 30-minute process for you. It's like preheating the oven before you bake cookies. Like, you can't just throw it in there.
You have to have a whole kit. It's not even really portable. Like, you have to have tools. It's a whole thing. Because you have to have a tie on. You have to have the needle. You have to have the spoon. You have to have it. It's a lot. It's not convenient.
A drug like that was never going to have a long-lasting ability throughout the perils of time. Right.
But I do know, also, I think it's more, if I'm not mistaken, it's more expensive. It's more expensive on the street as well. Not that I know that much about heroin, but that's my understanding. So all that is to say, watch the crack doc on Netflix if you get a chance. Also, I know you didn't watch this, Karin, but I finally gave in and watched Bridgerton, the Shonda Rhimes series.
The only Shonda Rhimes show I've ever watched was Private Practice and Scandal.
To say, you didn't watch Scandal?
But that was, she had.
You never watched How Do You Know Your Murder?
She produced it. She didn't direct and write it.
Okay. So, Bridgerton is like, it's like trashy, melodramatic, but fun. Like, it was a good binge watch, right? And I found it entertaining, even though it had like massive plot problems, but whatever. Nobody's watching it for the plot. But it was entertaining enough. It's based on a series of books.
Like, no, there's not all the women.
You're right. Except comedy. There's some comedy in there.
All the women
there,
I know and talk about, like, it's this light-skinned dude they in love with, or some dark-skinned swole dude that they like looking at. And I'm like, where's the Kerry Washington in this show to bring me in?
There's not a Kerry Washington. There's a light-skinned girl. There's a light-skinned girl. There's,
you know, yeah.
And there's an old, savvy Black woman who I want to be when I grow up. Yeah. She's so dope. She reminds me of like an older Debbie Allen character, but in like
Debbie Allen 71. How much older do you want Debbie Allen to be?
Well, you know, a 71 in 2021 versus a 71 in 18 something, two totally different things. You know. But yeah, it's but the reason that it's entertaining is because the entire plot could have gone a whole different way if not for the So, not that I'm giving spoilers, because if y'all haven't watched it by now, y'all haven't. But one of the main central pieces of the plot is that this girl wants to get married and have a family.
I saw the trailer. I watched the trailer to get the idea.
But it's at a time where...
But that was like, this trailer ain't doing it.
But it's at a time where, you know, if you are of society, if you're from a titled family, which she is, and, you know, sometimes your marriages are paired based on family interests instead of love. But she... Her dream is to marry for love and have family. And it's her first debut season, her first social season, which is when you are eligible for marriage.
And her and the dude come up with this plan, right?
Right. Basically, it's to basically raise her stock and so that people will leave him alone and think that he is courting her because he doesn't want to get married. So later on, we find out why he doesn't want to get married and why he doesn't want to have children. We find this out because his father was a dick, basically. And his father was titled. So basically he swore to his father. All his father cared about was continuing the title. So he was like, the title's dying with me, fam. Like, that's dead. So that was his thing. Like, he was so bitter towards his father because his father was horrible. And but we don't find out till later. But he never explains it to her at all. What he tells her is, I can't give you children. And I know you want children. Well, for a variety of circumstances, it ends up that they have to get married because there's going to be a scandal. They was making out, you know, her honor is threatened. So they got to get married. But they're secretly in love with each other. They just haven't told each other that yet. But so it works out that they get married. Sounds shandy. It works out that they get married because they actually do love each other for real. But she interprets him saying, I can't give you children as I literally can't. Give you children, where he just means I'm not gonna give you children. So this nigga,
you think my man juice don't work? I'm trying like I'm not gonna give you my man juice. I got you.
So exactly, every time they have sex, he pulls out, but the pullout is so dramatic. Fail. Every time they have sex, your man like hurls himself. He's like hurls himself off, goes to the side. It's like he damn near flings himself off the bed onto the floor to the point where one at a time she's like, does that hurt? Like, because he's so dramatic with it. But because he's so dramatic with it, she realizes it makes her aware of the fact that he's pulling out, right? Like, because he's so extra about it. So she ends up putting two to two together because she had no idea like what needed to happen.
He don't know how to fake it.
In order to get pregnant. So she's like talking to her mom, like, you didn't teach me everything. And she's going to her maid, her handmaid, like, he explain
like
to
Derwin
me exactly
Davis
how.
From the game. You got to know how to fake a damn. That's what's up. Like,
So that part to me provided so much comedy because I was like, this whole thing could have been avoided if he just wasn't so dramatic with his pullout game. We wouldn't have gone through any of this. Because once she finds out, she's like, you lied and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there's comedy there. I say all that to say there's comedy there. So it's worth watching.
There are a ton of ways he could have
done this differently. Yeah,
endless possibilities, player. So dramatic. If you just get a little bit more creative.
So dramatic, like calm
so
down,
because I'm not gonna watch it. And if they listen to this still and they were planning to watch it, then screw them, because too bad.
Yeah, y'all should have watched it by now. So in the end, she's mad at him. She ends up like one of the times when he tries to pull off, she latches on and rolls over with him and rises. and doesn't let up. And he's like, oh, what have you done? Like, he's all did horrific. She pull
the rollover, bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. Like, she locked the legs in and rolled over with him. Which I was just like, you could have just locked him in from joint. We all know how to lock a nigga in. There's a lot, there's a lock in. Like, you just lock him in when you can. That was just saying. So, but she could have done that without having to roll over. She could have just locked him in from the joint.
No, and just, you know why I'm uncomfortable? Wow. We hate that. Because that is the most.
The lock in? Oh, not that, all
that
y'all
is
hate
the
it.
Most. The right term. Helpless moment. And if you're ever taking advantage of it, there's nothing you can do. Of the man that we cannot talk about, quote, or listen to anymore. Your mind is telling you no, but your body. Your body right. is telling you yes. It's, yeah. It's not, no, don't get it our is, consent, yeah. ladies. Okay, get our consent.
I don't, yes, I don't, I do not suggest using the lock-in if you're not, if you've not had a conversation, if you're not in a monogamous relationship and or having, you know, unprotected sex. It's not a move for the light. I'm just saying it's a, I'm just saying it is. It is a I'm not advocating. Not advocating trapping any man. But I'm also like, who pulls out? I mean, this is 1800, but I'm like, pulling out don't even work. There's not even advanced. But anyway, I'm sorry. Let me, I'm going off on tangents. I don't want to have a whole conversation about pulling out right now. But I just say that. That's not what we're here
to say. The name of the show, Rob will be like, it's the pullout episode. Now we're crazy, sexy, cool episode. Now on Wednesdays.
I'm just saying that if you're trying to hide the fact that you intentionally do not want to get your wife pregnant, maybe be smooth with the pullout. That's all I'm saying. Just be low with it. There's no need for that.
That house season one ends?
No, it ends. So she gets mad. They're talking about getting a divorce and all this other stuff because he's being all cold. And she basically is like, you're being really stupid. Your father's dead. Like, we have a good marriage. We're best friends, and you're gonna end it all because of some stupid ass vow that you made. Blah 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 blah. So the season one actually doesn't end with them having a baby, but there's more because this is a whole series of books. So I guess the next time we'll maybe follow another couple, or they have some other drama, or whatever. But it does actually end with them giving up and having a baby because, you know, he has to let his guard down and let people in and show emotion. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, he's all cold and he doesn't want to love and he doesn't want to feel because he's afraid of getting hurt.
But I feel like that's the reason why, like, all the women liked him, right?
All the women like him because he's fine. Oh, and because he's a count.
Like Dracula?
He's a count.
Like Chocula?
Like the Count of Monte Cristo. Like, he's titled. So they like him because he's titled. No, he's a duke. Is he a duke?
Like,
he's a duke.
Like the hairdresser.
He's a duke.
Like, listen, we gonna be using these terms.
Like of Earl.
Over the pond. I need to associate.
Like of Earl.
With my black child rearing, okay?
Like the mayonnaise.
like the wave grease. Okay, I got you.
Like of Hazard. Like them Duke boys.
Like Daisy.
Okay, sorry. He's a Duke. Like Daisy. So yeah, because he's titled, which means that, you know, their daughters would be well taken care of, and but also he definitely was fine. He was definitely enjoyable to watch on screen.
Is he on your list?
No.
Because this is the reason why I brought up the list, right? So
yes.
Shout out to B. From Crazy Sexy Cool, because I had got these DVDs sent to me for consideration. And like, B's the like biggest Chadwick Boseman fan. Like, she's always tweeting about Chadwick Boseman. And I had the Five Bloods, mm-hmm. and I had my Rainey. Mm-hmm. And they also came with like the booklet with the script.
Okay.
And so One day, like, they're on my desk while I'm working, and I actually see her tweet, and I was just like, yo, do you want these? And I sent her a picture of it. She was like, yeah, so I melted to them. And, like, so I listened to all they show, and I've just been like, if it would have been Lenny Kravitz for Meek, I would have sent her. If it would have been, what's my man name? Black and Yellow.
Wiz Khalifa?
Liz loves Wiz. If it was you, if it was Method Man, I would have sent it to you. So I'm like, okay, who else is on your list? Is this Bridgerton dude? Is Method Man and who else? Who is it?
So the Bridgerton dude, who's on my
list? Who's in your top five?
Actually, who's on my list?
If I had information on them, if I could mail it to you, you would be like, yes, right now, overnight at our Cash App.
I have to think about it because there are people who used to be on my list and are no longer
right
on
now,
my
top
list.
Top five, right now.
Because, all right, so what's my man's name? I can't remember anybody's name right now. What's my man's name from Lovecraft?
Oh, yeah, Lovecraft.
He is, why can I not think of his name? His name is Jonathan. Jonathan Reynolds? Jonathan.
His name is Adam.
Is it Jonathan Reynolds? His name is Jonathan. So here's the thing about Jonathan. I first saw him in The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which, by the way, if you haven't seen, is really good. You couldn't get. I mean, it's weird, but that's actually what I like about it. I thought it was really
Jonathan Majors.
I thought it was really touching. Jonathan Majors. So Jonathan Majors, because I saw him in that movie and his personality is really kind of odd in that movie.
Quirky.
I thought of him as kind of a quirky dude because even Tick is like a quirky kind of dude, right? But while he was shooting Lovecraft, he was bulking up because he's joining Marvel. Yeah. And there was one episode. So he would hit like in certain angles. I'd be like, wait, is Jonathan Majors? Is he fine? Like, what? Is he cute? And if he has on something that shows his arms, yes, the answer is yes. He's cute. Like he's getting sexy for me. He's not top five yet, but like he's on my radar. Oh,
is he honorable mention? Like I'm pulling up.
He's on honorable.
I'm pulling
you know,
up
but
my
you know
Word
who,
document right
you know
now.
Know who is on my list? He's way too young, bless his heart. But
Be a cougar. Walk into your
my man from Moonlight. I can't remember anybody's name.
Oh, you mean I know who you're talking about.
The one who played. Black. Hold on. Hold, please.
Javante Rhodes.
And this is how I know
Javante Rhodes.
Wow.
The lust in your eye.
That motherfucker is fun. Jesus Christ.
When a black woman uses the term motherfucker before she describes how you look,
Jesus,
she wants you in a way that is Sodom and Gomorrah-ish.
Mm-hmm. He is so fine. And because right now, honestly, I don't even have a list like that. No. Like, there are guys who I enjoy looking like, but Trevante is on my list. Mm-hmm. Like, Yaha, I know everybody likes Yaha. Trevante is on my list. Method Man has been on my list for 30 years. So that's just on the main.
Are
that.
We putting Yaha on the honorable mention with John?
No, I can take Yaha or leave him. He's whatever. Okay. But I will tell you.
I need three more. Three more slots.
Okay, so one more, and he's tentative. I don't have three more full slots. I have scouts. I have prospects. So the other prospect is...
Is this a franchise? Are you about to draft?
I'm just saying.
Gerald Madden, is your box? What is happening?
So I got to get his name right.
What movie? What TV show?
From TV show. Yolande Noel. He plays Daniel on Insecure, but he was also in the Photograph.
Oh, what he played, did he go to before he transferred?
He went to Morehouse?
And then he transferred. So we don't acknowledge non-graduates, but he went to Morehouse.
So he plays, if you've seen the Photograph, he plays
younger
this
person.
Is the younger, this is mom's character.
He's his
love
daddy
interest.
When he was young.
Yeah, he's his daddy when he was young.
He's his boyfriend.
And
in
I never paid 2 seconds of attention to him in
Insecure.
But in the Photograph, I was like, oh, there was something very grown man-ish about him in the photograph.
Working on that boat.
I appreciated that. Yes, Lord. Harley will do something. Men, fix something around your girl. See what happens.
Women from the South, black women from the South of a certain age, if you just, hey boy, pass me that hammer so I can tighten these screws up, she'll be like, what?
You know what? But also for me, the thing about it is that I love arms on a man. But not like big, I'm in the gym all day, funny looking weightlifting arms, but like ball player arms. Oh my God. Or just like, I just do shit like around the crib type. Man, listen. Cause I love the way it's very subtle. Like that I'm telling y'all too much of my business right now. Like the way you see when the shirt sleeve cuts off and you can just kind of see the line. Like it ain't even got to be like really obvious. Like just a certain kind of flex. You'd be like, I just wonder what it's like to reach my arm. You know what?
Listen, because I have women from the South like certain things. The first time a girl told me something just based off the way my shoulder blades connected to my neck. And she was like, just the way your neck and your shoulders. I was like, what? I'm like, it's what real. Are you talking about? But the look, the filth. Mm-hmm. In her face, in her eyes, I was like, well, I'm just going to keep this gym routine up forever. It's working, I guess.
I mean, men, y'all really don't have to send pictures of your dick. Send pictures of your arms. We don't care about what your dick looks like. The arm gets our imagination going because we're imagining being held in those arms. We're imagining touching those arms. Like, it gives us more to work with.
This is the best Wednesday service. So far.
Meanwhile, we talk about so many things that we had no intention of talking about. I don't even know how we got here.
Because this is getting too good.
Give
me two more. Javonte, Bethany, Galen Noel, Jonathan Majors is honorable mention. Unless you want to move him up.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave Jonathan Majors an honorable mention.
You gotta ask.
We gotta come back. We gotta come back. Ask me. Let's finish this next week. I need time.
No.
Because it's gonna take me.
This show is growing too great at a rate.
I don't know. I really don't. I really can't think of other people right now.
Because if you finish, and then when we upload this tomorrow or today for those listening, when we tweet it, we can ask the ladies to also add their time.
Okay.
This is for SEO and social media concerns, so. For the brand, we need two more. Somebody in the 80s and 90s. Somebody from in the industry that you was like, yeah, I don't need to work on their album or it's going to be a problem.
Okay. Oh, music. I'm not telling y'all nobody else in entertainment. Fuck that. Boris Kodjo.
Okay.
Even though he's not super busy right now.
Being a father and a husband.
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with it. I'm not clowning him at all.
He's actually on the Shonda show, Station 19.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
He did a trip. All right, one more.
Who else currently? You know what? I'm going to put one classic cutie on there. It's not so much that he's sexy. He's just such a cutie. He's short though, so it would never happen. But he's eternal. His body is eternal. Lorenz Tate? Yes, it is.
How did I know?
Yes, it is.
Let me tell
you. His spot is eternal.
Let me tell you when I figured out how black women's lust levels by their age group. When Girls Trip came out, when I was still living in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. When I went to go see it, I swear to you, I was the only black straight dude in that theater in Buckhead. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I was sitting, when I go to the movies, I like to sit in the back and I like to sit in the middle. Mm-hmm. I was like three rows from the back and I was surrounded by black women. And I was like, oh, it's Gucci. It was a couple players in there with a girl.
Right.
But it was just like women. So I'm just... Y'all doing all right? Good evening, ladies. How y'all doing? This was, I learned so much in that 90 minutes. Mike Coulter coming straight off Luke Cage. no love when he came on the stage. On screen. I don't know if it had to do something with his character, but no love. Kofi, his first scene.
Got a lot. Swooning.
Every girl under 30. Oh, bitch. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. There you go. There we go. Only women under 30. Lorenz Tate's first scene. Every woman 30 or the good God of my girl. You got it. Yes.
He's
30 said nothing about Kofi. All their energy was for Lorenz. The ones under 30 said nothing about Lorenz. It was all Kofi. And I'm sitting there like, look at that shit.
And you know what? Kofi is a cutie, but he's, and I think that is it for me in my head. He's a cutie, but he looks young to me. You know what I'm saying? So I did react to that scene, but what I was reacting to was the look he gave Jada, like, okay, you know, like that was the right look. Like he gave the right look. Mm-hmm. Now everybody knows how to give a good look. A good, like, yeah, I'm gonna need the, we gonna need the, that look. Not everybody communicates that well. But yeah,
it's Lorenz, like a good wink.
Yes.
Or yes. Subtle lip bite.
Yep. Oh, the lip bite.
I've mastered these skills.
A masterful lip bite will get you very far. It's really,
and
it's
you know thing. How you know your lip bite is working? Because this is what Black women say when you nail it. Y'all all say the same thing. Don't do that.
Don't play with me. Don't play with me. That's what it is. Don't play with me.
Don't do that. Stop. You know what you do. One of them replies.
Don't play with me.
You won, player. You just won.
Yes. This is correct. Look at all this game. So yeah. But yeah, Lorenzo's on the perma list for me, as is Method Man.
So your top five for listeners at home are in no order: Trevante Rhodes, Method Man.
Yeah, Method Man is number one though. In no order except for Method Man, because Method Man is number one.
Boris Kodjo, Lorenz Tate, and as a sixth man off the bench, as honorable mention, Jonathan Atticus.
Majors. We're watching Jonathan Majors to see how he continues to develop. He has potential.
Now, has I will tell you, there was, you know, two names. I'm a little shocked. Didn't come up on your list.
Whom? Well, I told you I'm also going off dome. I don't have the running list like I used to.
I thought the old school playing you would have had a little Denzel on there for a little retro vibe.
So, young Denzel, yeah. Elder Denzel, I mean, he's still a good-looking man. But young Denzel was something special. But he's still a good looking man, but it's not the same as young Denzel.
His son, and you respecting the new school. I thought you would have my Morehouse brother John David Washington
on there. I was gonna say no, his son is fine. But I'm being respectful. It feels wrong.
Respectful.
It feels wrong to have lusted after his father and now lust after him. Although, you know who I missed? And speaking of father and son, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Really?
I gotta add him to the list. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Is this honorable mention or is this top six?
He's an honorable mention. Okay. Because he's a baby.
Okay.
But he's an honorable mention.
That one is a surprise for me. Okay.
He fine. I mean, I had a crush on his daddy at one point once he got rid of the curl. Like, we were all really surprised that Ice Cube was cute once he got rid of the curl.
Let me tell you about a story.
It was like, oh, Ice Cube is cute. Let
me tell you about a story about Denzel that I rarely tell. But if you were there, you can vouch for it. Growing up in that era, still to this day, I have never seen an age group of women act the way that the age group of women who came up with Denzel at that time had ever acted about anyone. The first day I saw Denzel at Morehouse watching JD play, I called my aunt in the stands, and my aunt over the phone 12 hours away lost it.
Right.
But after 4 years of just seeing Denzel on campus all the time, like it didn't lose its luster, but it was just like, this is normal. Until graduation, since me and JD in the same class, our graduation speaker, is it Ruth Brown, Ruth Wilson, Ruth Carter? I forgot her name. She is a president somewhere, but she was like the president of Brown at the time, like the first female black president Brown. She's somewhere at some HBCU doing something now. I think it's Ruth Carter. She gave our speech. And before she started her speech, like this accomplished, intelligent, smart, older black woman, we just like, yo, she the president Brown? She gets up there, we in full Morehouse and regalia, and she was basically like, before I start, she was like, Denzel. No disrespect to you, Pauletta, but.
Yes.
And so, like, Denzel and Pauletta are laughing.
Right. Because
she was respectful about it, but she's just like, yo.
I understand.
I'm here with you right now. Like, you don't
understand.
And I'm just like, and we just like, yo, she's doing this right now?
Right.
Like, it's still that serious.
Yes.
To just be like, you don't know how much I love you.
Like, let me just acknowledge that you're here.
Yeah. Like, we are in the same air right now. Yeah. Right. I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I get that.
This might be the OG, triple OG of all time right now.
I get that. I would imagine that Billy Dee probably elicited a similar response in his heyday.
I take that back. I've had mothers and older aunts talk about Billy. And for men, I remember my dad
telling a story
about why am I tripping? Pam Grier in her day. And he was like, it was one of the movies, her first scene. He was like, dudes fell out their seat up and down the theater.
Right.
Because it was just like, yo, Pam Grier was just. Now, even now.
Whew. Yeah, she's still amazing now. Yeah. So, yeah, I would imagine. So, Billy Dee and Pam Grier, absolutely. We might have to break. We might have to bring some folks on to break this down into eras and have this conversation, because the other person I forgot, who should be on a permalist of sorts, is Leon. Because he fine.
JT?
JT, yes.
I love JT. Matthews.
JT, Shy Black brother. Jesus.
Shy brother.
Yeah, like, who? Like, all, yeah, you can.
Thomas Shepard from Above the Rim, who dropped 30 in some corduroys in an outdoor basketball tournament.
Right. Yeah, Leon just used to have just that cool, like, you talk about, like, you could talk about, oh, LL is no longer on my list, but he was on my list for many years. Young LL was on my list. But you talk about like just a look and like a lip lick or something like that.
Leon also was the first dude I ever saw that was like, oh, you can be an asshole and make this work for you. One of the opening scenes of Five Heartbeats, when he got old girl at the top before that first opening scene they performed, and he was like, I brought you up here because I thought you was a grown woman, not some little girl afraid of life.
Right.
And then she just slides down to her knees to go to work. And I was like, that works?
For some. Okay.
It's something, and I was like, it's the delivery.
You got to know. It's the delivery. And also, it has to be consistent with who you are. Like, this is not something it's a strictly for linemen, not for freshmen type situation. It's kind of like how that Chris Rock joke, where it's like, you gotta be bold in your request. You can't be like, excuse me, pardon me. Like, you gotta actually, like, believe. Be very clear in your shit. And you gotta be able to actually, like, you gotta be a nigga who can actually do that. Like, everybody. Yeah. Everybody is not so privileged. Like, you gotta have enough pull also.
Like, you can't be able to talk crazy. Yeah, hey girl, I'm gonna take you to the crib and do this.
You know.
Or there's some of us who can say, hey, this was gonna happen. And as soon as we say it, she's like, yep, that is exactly gonna happen. Yes. I know he's gonna do all those things.
Yep. Because our producer is telling me that we're at an hour and we really just sitting here talking shit at this point. But the key to this, to all of this, because I know men be like, yeah, but you know, if a dude you like does that, then it's fine. If a dude you don't like does that, then it's not. You're absolutely right. Also, if you're ugly, like, so there's ugly and then there's like ugly but cool. So you can be conventionally unattractive would be so cool that you're attractive. I can't explain it any better than that. You have to either be cool or fine or both. You can't be corny and ugly and trying to spit that level of game
with a pinch of disgust.
Because it doesn't work. Because
the
we
recipe
don't actually,
just the yeast no. doesn't rise in the muffins when they come out of the pan. You know, it just
right.
Just
you got to know when.
Why my cupcake's flat?
Right. The reason some dudes can get away with being assholes is because there's a line at which there's a line for women where like they like you already, but they know they shouldn't, but they want to, and you have to walk that line.
You gotta give them a little push.
Correct.
To be like, ooh, correct. This is worth it.
Correct. But that's also why you can come at a chick even with the kindest of overtures and she's not gonna feel it if she's not feeling you. Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate that that's the case. So
yeah. It's the like other... that meme you posted a while ago where it was that skit. And it was the text, and it was
oh,
like,
the text. Where the text was like, "Good morning, my African Nubian queen, my lily. I had so much fun." Like, and then the dude was like, "Bitch, what you do?
You know you ain't sleep." And she just got up, was all giddy.
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. Because like, if it's the dude that's just speaking in platitudes just for whatever, you're like, whatever. But yeah. And I said when I posted that, I was like, you can't just come out the gate and do this. There has to be a rapport there.
There's time in.
there's time in. And the other thing is, if you are going to be an asshole, if you are going to play like the lovable asshole role, let me call it that. If you're going to play the lovable asshole role or the kind of elusive asshole role, the only way that works is if there are also moments. And yes, I'm talking about playing mind games. And be clear, I'm not advocating for this at all whatsoever, because we're all more mature than that in theory. There also does have to be like moments of kindness and affection
and real connection.
And comfort and real connection behind that, right? So you can do the bitch, I know you ain't sleep, wake up, you know, and have her giggling and being like, whatever. If
she you knows also, you if got her also, back.
Right. And if also like if the next thing is come meet me out for breakfast and y'all gonna be sitting there kicking it and cracking jokes, you can't just be talking shit to women all day, every day. The whole like treat women like absolute shit, that does not actually work. That unless she has low self-esteem, which is what you don't want. But there is some, but women like a little bite, just like niggas like a little bit of feistiness.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot. A lot sometimes.
Cause like
too.
I'm kind of an asshole, so I need a little bit of it back. But I need it in levity. I don't need you to actually be a dick. But I need to know you have a little bit of that arrogance in you.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Okay. So that has been our Naima telling all her business and bad advice segment of
You're welcome, everybody. I pulled it out early tonight. You know, I pulled my journalist hat, kept asking questions. This is why I'm really good at my job, people. You know?
This is funny. That's actually
I delivered.
Funny.
You all are welcome.
So we've
all
got
you players
way
that's been plotting on Naima. keep this tape on repeat.
I don't know about what.
Now,
okay.
If you now it's up to you to execute it.
Operate at your own discretion. We did not talk about MLK Day. We did not talk about it. Was about FOMO things we supposed to talk to. We didn't get to it. We'll talk about it next week. But for now, yeah, happy inauguration day. We made it. We survived. Wherever y'all at, y'all stay safe because these Trump fools ain't done yet. Just know that. They're not done yet. But also, understand what Biden and Kamala are walking into, please. And now that they are about to be in office, it means that we are going to get all the same... we're going to see a lot of people capitalizing on just being anti-John Kamala just for the sake of it. You all know we're thinking about Sean King. We're thinking about Van Jones.
Oh, lastly, before I get out of here, I've texted to Naima. If you're listening to this on Wednesday and you're watching BET inauguration, you will see there's a host of the show that would be Soledad O'Brien. Shout out to our sister. And Mark Lamont Hill, I just remind you all that Mark Lamont Hill in 2016 said we could afford to lose an election. So if you want to cut off that telecast right now, because I'm giving you this information, you forgot about it. I did my job because that's what he said.
So I will say again, like I said before, I addressed this with Mark directly. He told me he was going to say something about it at some point. He is not yet. I feel like, Mark, if this gets back to you in any way, I feel like you at least owe it to people who trust your voice, because there are people who do trust your voice, to account for that statement and go on record to apologize for it, real talk.
Because meanwhile, as of today, 400,000 Americans have died due to COVID.
We're reaching Civil War numbers. We've already surpassed every other war's American deaths. Now we're about to hit the Civil War, which was the most Americans killed.
I guess we didn't have an election that we could sit out.
Yeah.
Funny how that works out.
So, all right, y'all. Until next week, we know you could have been anywhere listening to anything, watching anything. And if you are listening, we always do recommend watching. And if you're watching and you're like, why Naima kept getting up and getting back down? It's because I had a package come. And yesterday, somebody literally stole a piece of mail from in front of my door on MLK Day. So I had to go get, isn't that terrible? So I had to go get up and get it right now. Even though all they got was some HP yellow ink. So y'all enjoy that. But anyway, and like a notebook. So, you know, we know you could have been listening to anything, watching anything. We do not take it for granted that you're here with us. And we will see. Oh, and a reminder, all of the Count the Dings and Bomb shows are on YouTube. I forgot to do the housekeeping. Are on YouTube. Find us under Count the Dings. You can watch all of us, Woke Bros, Pretty Sexy Cool, Growing Up the Same, and the OG Black Opinions Matter motherfucker. And we will see y'all next week.
We out.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.